Blog Talk Radio.
I think you will see that that varies is over this country, more or less.
is over this country by all in the spirit of liberty, Columbia. I pray everybody has had a blessed day and that you have gotten the prescribed rest. I myself have been in these scriptures all day long, looking for, you know, what the Most High would have. And we're going to continue from this morning because we didn't actually finish everything. We need to see, you know, when we are doing this thing, addressing the Most High by the name of another deity, another Elohim, whom he says he hates, then how does he feel about that? You know, we didn't really cover that this morning. And so we want to look into this thing on this evening and finish this up. But I want everybody to understand that this spirit of whoredom has been on our people from the very beginning, even before we got into the promised land. And, you know, the Most High would kill those off that did it, but it seems like, you know, this flesh of ours has been ruling us for a long time. A long time. And, you know, I'm surprised that the Most High just didn't just wipe us all out. Just wipe us out and say, you know what? I'll just start over. So, I'm amazed that he didn't. Let me greet everybody in Pal Talk, on Blog Talk, on the internet in general, wherever you be. Maybe if you're on your phone, or you're driving in your car, wherever you may be, we greet you in the Master's name. The only name whereby men must be saved, whether you are in North America or South America, whether you are in on the African continent or on the European continent. We want to say Shabbat Shalom. And if you are out of your Sabbath, Shalom. We're going to do our statement of faith. We are going to pray in. And we're going to read the scripture for today. And then we're going to jump into this precept. I'm kind of mesmerized. I really am. The more that I see why the Most High, why when he was talking to us and why he hates Baal, because before we move on, I found that there's another meaning for the word or the name Baal. It also stands for husband. Husband. That's another name for it. And so when we were worshiping, our forefathers were worshiping Baal, they were also claiming him to be their husband, because that's what his name means, one of the meanings of his name. And the Most High says, I'm your husband. So, you know, this thing just gets deeper and deeper. That being said, let us do our statement of faith. Our statement of faith. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. I believe all holiness must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of God, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim, according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of God, according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I'm a new covenant child of God, according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood, according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by God, according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I am a child of God and of the seed of Abraham, according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give the Most High hand clap of praise on this evening. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. find you, Father, that you hide with your face from us. Friends, it was a few years we felt in your words to us, Father. Come to us and speak to us. God, we just want to thank you. We want to glorify you and lift you up and give you all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor. And you are truly worthy. You alone are worthy, Father. And we praise your holy name. And we have the ladies to cover their heads. Men, uncover your head. Let us turn toward the east, toward Jerusalem. Let us summon our Elohim, that he be amongst us in our presence. Amen, 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 amen. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those that have trespassed against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever and ever and ever. Amen and amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercy. We thank you for life and health and strength today. We thank you for the opportunity to once again come together, Father, and to break bread and to observe your Shabbat, a day of rest that you have ordained that your people should keep perpetually throughout all time. Father, we invite you to our meeting tonight, Father. Let it be you that we hear from. Let Brother Miles decrease and let you increase. And Father, we need to hear from you. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name, I pray. Amen and amen. Again, let us go to 1 Kings, chapter 8. The book of 1 Kings, chapter 8, starting in verse 46. If they, Israel, sin against thee, for there is no man that sinneth not, and thou be angry with them and deliver them to the enemy, so that they carry them away captives unto the land of the enemy, far or near. Yet if they shall bethink themselves in the land, whether they were carried captive, and repent and make supplication unto thee in the land of them that carried them captive, saying, we have sinned and have done perversely. We have committed wickedness. And so return unto thee with all their heart and with all their soul in the land of their enemies, which led them away captive, and pray unto thee toward their land, which thou gavest unto their fathers, the city which thou hast chosen, and the house which I have built for thy name. Then hear thou their prayer and their supplication in heaven, thy dwelling place, and maintain their cause. And forgive thy people that have sinned against thee, and all their transgressions wherein they have transgressed against thee, and give them compassion before them who carried them captive, that they may have compassion on them. For they be thy people and thy inheritance, which thou broughtest forth out of Egypt from the midst of the furnace of iron, that thine eyes may be open unto the supplication of thy servant and unto the supplication of thy people Israel, to hearken unto them in all that they call for unto thee. For thou didst separate them from among all the people of the earth to be thine inheritance, as thou spakest by the hand of Moses thy servant, when thou broughtest our fathers out of Egypt, O Yah, Elohim. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13 and 14. The book of Ecclesiastes. Chapter 12, verse 13 and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear Elohim and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For Elohim shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. May the Most High have blessed you to reading, the hearing, the understanding, and the doing of his word. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen. All right. On this morning, we stopped and we realized that what the writers of the New Testament, of the Bible, the KJV Bible, have done, and I said I don't really know why they did it, but it was wickedness. They have actually replaced the name of a Canaanite deity for the name of the Most High when they use the word Lord. If you were to go backwards and forward, the name Baal translated into the English is Lord. That means if you translate it back from the English to the Hebrew, then you should come back with Baal as a name. Okay? So that is wickedness and that is deception. And the Most High told us, don't have the name of any other deity in our mouth. Don't let it come out of our mouth. So we're going to do this precept. I think I'm going to do this precept maybe once a year from now on, because I really don't want to be, even as a teacher, I don't want to be in violation of it. But it's important that we understand where we have been put and what we've been doing, and that this spirit, you know, I was thinking about this before this lesson, and this spirit, I went out to look up, you know, the Most High hates Baal, because I know I had read it in the scriptures, but then I ran across a page that described what Baal worship was, so I said, let me just check this out, and that's something I typically don't do on Shabbat either. I don't read about any other deity. But this happens to be the subject matter for today. And so we are coming up on the end of the Shabbat. We have given the Most High his honor. But his people need to know and need to learn that we know what not to do. Okay? And as I'm reading this description of Baal worship, which I knew some of it, but some of this stuff, I was like, I didn't know that. That spirit is over this country. Specifically this country. Now, it may be over other countries as well. But it's over this country. And so I'm going to start off, I'm going to read this to you. Some of you, if you got sensitive ears, you may want to plug your ears up or what have you, because this is kind of graphic. Nevertheless, we need to hear it so that we understand, because we got so many of our people who are into pornography. They're into aberrant sex. They are in, you know, just perversion as part of, you know, and try to put it up under the marriage bed if they're married even. But, you know, even if they're in a relationship, they are practicing some things that I see why the Most High said he wanted all these people kicked out of the land. So anyway, let me read this to you. And as I said, if you have tender ears, you may want to mute me. All right. This is coming from a website on the internet. I won't even bother to give you the site, the name of the site. One cannot read too far into the scriptures before encountering a false Elohim named Baal. Baal was a Canaanite god worshipped in many different ways by many different tribes. Baal is typically understood to be the storm god, the Elohim of weather and fertility. In an agrarian culture, that's a farming culture, agrarian, one would easily see how such an Elohim would gain ascendance and become the primary object of worship along with his divine consort, Ashtari, which is the same as Asherah, that we talked about earlier this morning. Worshiping Baal involved ritual sex. And so this is one of the things that with Asherah, Ishtar, Esther, where we get Easter from, we have to understand that a lot of these rituals that were practiced, we sort of just took them in. And a lot of times we don't even know what they practice. And that this particular deity is tied to certain things. And when we were ignorant, we would, you know, like we said, we're going to church on Easter Sunday. And we tie that calling it Easter, we tied that particular deity, which was a female deity, to the Most High. But then if you go and you research that deity and how they worshiped her and what she represented, then, you know, you have to really ask yourself, you know, are we stupid? What is wrong with us? You know, but nobody ever even bothered, you know, they just heard Christ, they heard resurrection, and tied the Most High to this pagan holiday. So this particular deity, Baal, and his consort, Ashtar, which I believe is also Asherah, which is also in another language, Esther, okay? God of fertility, goddess of fertility. Now, you can just about guess, you know, what they worshiped, okay? But we're going to read it here because I don't want us to have any misunderstanding of what this involves. And you will see some of this spirit in this culture. Okay. The worship of Baal involved ritual sex. Priests and priestess would copulate with worshipers who came to make offerings at the shrine. So they are at the shrine, the altar of their god, their deity, and the priest and the priestess are having sex with the people who come to make an offering. On high holy days, the community would gather and engage in large-scale orgies as they sought to commune with Baal. Some Baal cults went to the extreme, offering sacrificing children or worshiping their own excrement. Now, wait a minute. What type of person would worship their own? I mean, come on now. That just shows you that these people were sick. But we got people today that are into this stuff. Whatever you can imagine, people are into in this culture. Let me continue reading this. Okay. Some Baal cults went to the extreme, even sacrificing children and worshiping their own excrement. Yes, you read that right, that part right. They worship literally involved uncovering the rectum, the most shameful part of the human body, according to the Jewish belief, due to its almost permanent state of uncleanliness. and depositing their waste on the altar. Such was life under the cult of Baal Peor. Baal Peor literally means the Lord of open holes, or the Lord of the rectum, according to Jewish sources. Their worship was the very definition of ritual uncleanliness, the very antithesis of Israelite worship. So this was supposed to be the exact opposite of what we're about. Elohim hates Baal worship, hates it for what it represents, hates what it does to his divine image bearers, hates how it dehumanizes and demeans. He is disgusted by it, offended by it. So when his own people, the people he miraculously saved and sustained, began to worship Baal Peor, he responded with swift righteous judgment. A plague is unleashed, perhaps originating from the very waste the Moabites worship, killing 24,000 Israelites. Now, I had just read this, but, you know, the scripture didn't go into how, it just says they worship, you know, the Canaanite gods, the Moabite gods. Didn't say what they actually did. And it says he killed 24,000 Israelites. Things would have been much worse except for Phinehas, the grandson of Aaron, who takes a spear and kills an Israelite man and a Moabite woman as they engage in ritual sex in front of Moses and gather the congregation at the entrance of the tabernacle itself. The incident at Peor is so horrifying it becomes a watchword for future generations of Israelites. It will be used as a metaphor in both the Psalms and prophetic literature as described as extreme acts of unfaithfulness on the part of Elohim's people. Sadly, Baal worship is experienced a revival, perhaps not in the extreme form represented by Baal Peor, but certainly in the sexual liberties of the 21st century American culture. Sex has become a god or an Elohim in our world, lest it be mainstream. Altars to Eros have been erected all over and command millions of worshipers. So these altars of Eros, you know, that's erotica. Sexual restraint is considered unholy. The denial of sexual desire almost criminal. Speaking out against the Elohim of sex, blasphemous. Baal has even ensnared millions of Christians as well. Pornography, sexual promiscuity, adultery, homosexuality, serial divorce. Now, these are all the things that Israel is suffering from. And we know from previous lessons that the Most High put this spirit upon us because of our spiritual adultery and our spiritual fornication. He said, I'll put this on you and cause it to manifest in the real world. Now, I found it, maybe you can see this as well. People are calling on the Lord, which in translated in Hebrew is Baal. And he's the Elohim of fertility. And this is how they worship him. His priest and his priestess would have sex with anybody that came up with an offering. Then just said they just did some filthy stuff. But then we see that same spirit in the Americas, and we see it amongst our people, that we are into everything. And when we come into this word and we come supposedly coming out of the world, a lot of us are bringing these same things into the body and trying to justify it by saying, oh, I'm married, so it's okay. It is not okay. You know, and I'm not trying to get in nobody's bedroom, but you got to see that this spirit is a spirit of perversion. It's a spirit of lasciviousness. So we get tired of having sex one way, and let's find something new. Well, let me try anal. Let's do that. Oh, let's. Wait a minute. You know, that don't turn me on no more. Let's try this. Let's try that. That is this spirit. And so when you see it and it's pervasive throughout society, and it's pervasive among our people. High divorce rates. Why the high divorce rates high? Because we're not making commitments in accordance with the word of the Most High, and we're just going from one partner to another. Strung out on pornography. And, you know, it's a well-known fact that at least 10 or 15 years ago, the vast majority of internet usage was for pornography. So we're just bombarding ourselves with this spirit of lust. But it's the spirit of Baal. And whatever it is that, you know, your heart's desire, whatever you can think of in your mind, whatever you can imagine, whatever somebody can imagine, they try to put it in a movie. And then people who, you know, hey, maybe you're boring or whatever, don't have no imagination, it's just missionary for you. Somebody go watch porn and all of a sudden they get all these ideas. Why don't we try this? Why don't we try that? But the truth of the matter is most of us have been exposed from a young age because of this spirit being so pervasive. So understand that the worship of Baal is a lust spirit. He's a lust Elohim. His priest and priest worship him through sex. And so when we are caught up in this, even unawares, we are worshiping him and any of those deities that fall into that line. So when the Most High is angry about us doing this and angry about us, you know, our people turning toward Baal Pierre or Baal period, and when I found out that, you know what, from some devious way in the translation of the scriptures, the very translation of the name Baal, Lord, why would they ever use that in the scriptures? And then have us calling out to that name, calling out to that title. It is wicked. And it's deception. And that very spirit, it, you know, everybody calling on him, no wonder that spirit is pervasive in this country and probably in other countries as well. I can only speak for this one. I only live in this one. But even when I was in Germany, in Europe and stuff, yeah, I would have to say it was there too, even worse. So this is craziness. It's craziness how this links up and how we have been deceived and this. Saying, not saying the name of the Most High, but saying the translated name of another deity, as I said this morning, and then we'll move on. If your name is Mary in one language, and it translates to Miriam in another language, it's still your name. When they took the name of a Canaanite deity, Baal, which means Lord, translates to Lord in our language, and say, oh, yeah, this is what we'll use. It just blew me away. I mean, that is deception at the highest level. And why the Most High allowed it? Again, I have to say, he wants us to search him out. He wants us to truly look for him. Because this is wickedness at the highest level. And so we want to talk about how he actually feels about that on this evening. So I just wanted us to know and understand that this spirit of this deity is all about sex. The goddess of this country, Columbia, or the goddess Liberty, says you are free to do whatever you want to do as long as you don't harm nobody else doing it. So if y'all are willing to do it together, It ain't no foul, no harm. That is the goddess Liberty. Don't matter if it's sexual. No matter if it's it doesn't matter what it is. You are free to worship the Most High the way you want to worship Him, but you're free to worship any other God, any other Elohim, the way you want to worship Him, up under this goddess of liberty. So you can't condemn anyone in this country for who and what they worship. The problem I have is that we are at liberty to worship the Most High however we want to worship Him, and we find a hard time worshiping Him the way that He says to worship Him. Ain't nobody going to come against us. That's the law of the land. But we struggle keeping His statutes, His laws, His commandments. They don't struggle keeping the statutes, laws, and commandments of their deities. But we struggle with ours. Let me move on. All right, let's jump into this precept for this evening. Where did I put it? I got too many documents open. All right. Let us go to the book of Numbers, chapter 22. The book of Numbers, chapter 22. Because this is, you know, we're going to go back kind of to the beginning. The Most High has just brought us out of Egypt. We are traveling through the wilderness on our way to the promised land. Now, the truth of the matter is, the Most High was going to take us into the promised land within the first 30 days of us coming into the wilderness. But we know how that went. We sent in spies into the land, and 10 of them came back with a negative report. And the people chose to believe the negative report rather than to believe the positive report that the Most High can deliver the land into our hands. So we got, our forefathers got a 40-year sentence walking in through the wilderness until that generation died out. Okay? Numbers 22:41. And it came to pass on the mark that Balak took Balaam and brought him up into the high places of Baal, that thence he might see the utmost part of the people. Now, the Amorites, and I'm kind of thinking the Midianites, and the Midianites are the people that Moses went and lived with. Moses' first wife, but I think it was his only wife, was a Midianite. Okay? And Jethro, his father-in-law, was a Midianite. Balaam is a Midianite. But he's going to make some sacrifices. If you read Numbers 25, I believe. You find out that Balak comes to get Balaam when he sees Israel coming out of Egypt, and they're coming into their land, and they're filling up the land. And Balak wants Balaam to curse Israel. Now, Balaam is a priest of the Most High. He has to be a Midianite priest. And the Most High dealt with him because the Most High comes and talks to him. And tells him, you can't curse this people. So, I would challenge you to go read that story because it's just interesting. Here is a priest. And I know Jethro made sacrifices to the Most High as well. But, you know, when Israel believes that they're the only ones that ever made sacrifices to the Most High, it's not true. And all we got to do is just go back and just read and find out that it's not true. We just make some claims that just are not true. But we're reading about Baal because this is the Elohim of that land. Okay? The land of the Amorites and apparently even of the I can't really say the Midianites. I know for sure it's the Moabites. Okay? His altars are all up in their high places. Matter of fact, Balaam makes sacrifice on at one time on five of the altars right there together. They go to another place, another five altars. Go to a third place, another five altars to Baal. So these people were worshiping Baal with a strength, okay? And by the time that you get to Numbers chapter 24 or 25, Israel has corrupted themselves with the Moabite women. And they start worshiping their Elohim, Baal Peor. And it says they made sacrifices to Baal Peor. If that, the sacrifices that they made to Baal Peor are like what we just read, then they were having sex with their priestess and with their priest. And they may have been doing the dookie thing, that nasty practice. They have utterly corrupted themselves and haven't even made it into the promised land. And the Most High has to kill 24,000 of them. But the truth of the matter is, part of their religion not only was fertility, but Baal also meant that they considered him their husband. So anytime Israel would go and practice Baal worship, they were saying that Baal was their husband. When the Most High said, I'm your husband. You married to me. That's why he accuses them of fornication and adultery. You're in a relationship with the Most High Elohim, and you're going and fornicating with this deity, with this God. And then some of you have had a change of heart toward me. You'd rather worship them than to worship me. And have committed adultery. So this was from the very beginning, even before they got into the promised land. And the Most High killed 24,000 for doing it. Go to the book of Judges, chapter 2. The book of Judges, chapter 2. And we'll get verse 11. Judges chapter 2, verse 11. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of Yah and served Balaam. And they forsook Yah, their Elohim of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt and followed other Elohim and of the Elohim of the people that were round about them and bowed themselves unto them and provoked Yah to anger. And they forsook Yah and served Baal and Asherah. Ashtaroth. Okay, so they've seen the Most High. Come on now. This is the generation they did not see him split the Red Sea. They did not see him bring water out of the rock. But he's been leading them because they are getting ready to go into the promised land, and the Most High has been leading them. They got Moses giving them the law. They got Joshua leading them. They know that they've been eating manna. Their clothes have not rotted on them. Their feet didn't swell up. You know, they have been going through. And they have quickly corrupted themselves. So this nature has always been in our people. And why the Most High kept forgiving us, only he knows. Only he knows. He must have saw some good in us somewhere. Let's go to the book of Judges, chapter 6. The book of Judges, chapter 6. And we're going to start in verse 25. We're going to read down to verse 30. Judges chapter 6, starting in verse 25. And it came to pass the same night that Yah said unto him, take thy father's young bullock, even the second bullock of 7 years old, and throw down the altar of Baal that thy father has, and cut down the grove that is by it. That grove was dedicated to Asherah. So they would put up altars to Baal, and they would grow, you know, a crop of trees, a grove of trees next to it, and that would be dedicated to Asherah. and cut down the grove that is by it, and build an altar unto Yah thy Elohim upon the top of this rock in the ordered place, and take the second bullock and offer a burnt sacrifice with the wood of the grove which thou shalt cut down. Then Gideon took 10 men of his servants and did as Yah had said unto him. And so it was, because he feared his father's household and the men of the city, that he could not do it by day, that he did it by night. I'm going to go and tear down this altar to Baal, and I'm going to build another one to the Most High, and I'm going to cut down this Asherim, this grove of trees that's to Asherah, and I'm going to burn that wood on the altar. And when the men of the city arose early in the morning, behold, the altar of Baal was cast down, and the grove was cut down that was by it, and the second bullock was offered upon the altar that was built. And they said one to another, who has done this thing? And when they inquired and asked, they said, Gideon, the son of Joash, has done this thing. Then the men of the city said unto Joash, bring out thy son, that he may die, because he has cast down the altar of Baal, and because he has cut down the grove that was by it. So these are our forefathers practicing worship of Baal and doing whatever it was that, however they practice it, whether it was, you know, bring the young girls here and we're going to have, we'll make them priestess and we'll have ritual sex with them. Or we'll make our women the priestess and the men the priest, and whoever brings an offering, we'll have sex with them. So they're practicing this. They have taken another husband, and his name is Baal. 1 Kings. Now, they're so much into this that they're going to kill Gideon for tearing down the altar of Baal when the Most High sent them into the land, that you tear down all the altars of all these other Elohims that the people are worshiping in the land. And here is Israel just deep in corruption. First Kings chapter 16, we're going to verse 31 through 33. And it came to pass, as if it had been a right thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, that he took to wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Zidim, and went and served Baal and worshiped him. Now, this is the king of Israel, Ahab. He marries the high priestess of Baal. Takes her as a wife. So she's practicing these things. She got her priests that are practicing these things. She's practicing these things. He has to be practicing these things. How in the world would he ever fall in love with her? Unless he was doing those things with her. So he takes her to wife. And he reared up an altar to Baal in the house of Baal, which he had built in Samaria. Remember, I explained to you this morning, Samaria at this time is the capital of Israel. It doesn't become known as Samaria, the region, until after the Assyrians take it over. Then they say, oh, the capital, we've been trying to get this capital for so long. Here's a slap in the face. We're just going to rename the whole region Samaria. But the real Samaria was the capital of Israel. Okay. So Ahab has raised an altar to Baal in Samaria, the capital of Israel. And Ahab made a grove. That's to Asherah. And Ahab did more to provoke Yah Elohim of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel that were before him. Jeroboam, when the Most High gave him the kingdom, he said, you know what, because of what Solomon did, I'm going to rent the kingdom from him, but not from Solomon for David's sake. I'll take it from Solomon's son, Rehoboam. Jeroboam was a general. He was honorable until he got afraid. You know, Solomon was going to kill him. So he runs into Egypt. And when Solomon dies, he comes back out of Egypt to take the 10 tribes. But he was so afraid that the people would leave and go to Jerusalem and not come back that he built altars to Baal and to the golden calves in two of his cities and had the people go there to worship. And I say Ahab did worse than he did because he married the priest, the priestess of Baal. Go to 1 Kings, chapter 18. And we're going to get verses 19 through 21. We're just looking to see what Egypt, what Israel did in reference to this deity. Because this, you know, our people have been, as I can see it now, and we know what Baal is all about, they have been about sex all along. This spirit of sex, of promiscuity, has been with our people for a very long time. And the Most High tried to straighten us out, try to get us to straighten out. So we see why we're having the issues we have even still today. Because slavery just magnified. All this time, they're voluntarily doing this stuff. Slavery put us in a position where we couldn't even volunteer. Our women couldn't volunteer who they were going to sleep with. That was left up to their owner, their master. The men didn't get a choice in who they slept with. That was up to their owner, their master. And you know, come on now, these people were perverse. Most of them were mentally ill and sick that they sent the first darkest century. And so we got to know that these spirits were in them because you got to say, you got to ask yourself, if I consider you to be an animal, if I don't consider you to be human, then I got to be perverse to sleep with you. Think about that. I'm going to say that you are less than a human being, but then I'm going to sleep with you. But then again, they were sleeping with sheep and everything else. So we were exposed to this because this had been our nature. And the Most High says, I'm just going to let you, this is what you want to be. I'm going to put you in a position where you ain't got a choice but to be. You have followed after this deity, Baal, on and off from the very beginning. Even to, you know, when you go and you read the scriptures, they even put up altars to Baal in the Most High temple. Solomon even did that. So this spirit has been on us for a minute. 1 Kings chapter 18, verses 19 through 21. Now, therefore, send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel and the prophets of Baal, 450, and the prophets of the grove, Asherah, 400, which eat at Jezebel's table. Jezebel is the high priestess for Baal. So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. And Elijah came unto the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? How long are you going to sit here and be stuck between, are you going to serve Ash, are you going to serve Baal or are you going to serve Yah? How long are you going to be stuck between these two decisions? If Yah be Elohim, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him, not a word. They are stuck. They don't know whether they want to worship the Most High or whether they, hey, we having sex over here. Over there, we can't do none of that stuff. We can do what we want over here. We're stuck. We know that we were brought out to be the priesthood, and we know that what we're doing is wrong, but and we know that it's making the Most High mad, but we can't make a decision which one we want to serve, which one we want to be our husband. Now, you know that's twisted. That is just wicked. And our forefathers were caught up in this thing. And it was not until the Most High killed all the prophets of Baal through Elijah that they made a choice. Oh, we're going to follow the Most High. Because they saw that the prophets of Baal, the priests of Baal, had lost. But think about that. They had a choice, and they couldn't choose. Do I choose between having sex every time I go make an offering? Or do I choose the Most High who wants to live holy? That was their choice, and they couldn't make a decision. I don't know. I think if I had been the Most High, I'd have been like, I'm telling y'all all right now. But yeah, I was merciful. And he again showed the people that he alone is Elohim. Because Baal couldn't protect his priest. Asheroth couldn't protect her priest. The prophet of the Most High killed them all. Let's continue. Go to the book of Hosea. Hosea, chapter 2. Hosea, chapter 2, we're going to start at verse 1, and we'll get verses 1 through 8. Verses 1 through 8. Say ye unto your brethren, Ami, and to your sister, Ruhamah, plead with your mother, for she is not my wife. Now the Most High is saying to Israel, talk to your brethren and to your sisters, and then talk to your mother, the nation, Jerusalem. She is not my wife, neither am I her husband. Let her therefore put away her whoredoms out of her sight and her adulteries from between her breasts. Lest I strip her naked and set her as in the day that she was born, and make her as a wilderness, and set her like a dry land, and slay her with thirst. Talking about doing this to the land, to the nation of Israel. And a lot of times when the Most High speaks about desolation, it doesn't mean nobody's living there. It means it's absent of what he wants there. I brought you out of Egypt to populate this land. And the land shall be desolate because I'm kicking you out. It's going to be absent of you. It's going to be desolate of you. But he's telling Israel, he's telling the nation, you're not my wife. And I'm not your husband because of your whoredoms. For their mother has played the harlot. She has conceived them and has done shamefully. For she said, I will go after my lover. That give me my bread and my water, my wool and my flax, my oil and my drink. Now the Most High has been providing for Israel all this time, and they have been taking it. He's equating this to a husband and a wife, okay? And the nation has been taking what he has been providing as their husband and giving it to another man. And sleeping with this man and giving what her husband is giving to her, to another man. This is what he's accusing them of. Therefore, behold, I will hedge up thy way with thorns and make a wall that she shall not find her path. And she shall follow after her lovers, but she shall not overtake them. And she shall seek them, but shall not find them. Then shall she say, I will go and return to my first husband, the Most High, For then was it better with me than now. For she did not know that I gave her corn and wine and oil and multiplied her silver and gold, which they prepared for Baal. So he equates this relationship with him in Israel as husband and wife. He says, now you're not my wife anymore. And I'm not your husband anymore. Because you have taken the things that I have given you and prepared them for another Elohim, another man. He's got a problem with it. And this is what, as I said, has been wrong with our people for a very long time, almost from our conception. As it went after we grew into a nation. Only you have I loved, but you went a whoring after other Elohim. And we know that that followed us into the captivity. We know that it was magnified upon us in slavery, and we are still suffering from this same spirit today as a people. Part of the curse. And because we won't recognize it, you can't heal yourself from what you don't know. Been calling on the name of Baal for all these years, thinking that you're calling on the name of the Most High. And this spirit is pervasive throughout all of this country. It's pervasive throughout all our people. That is, it's kind of amazing. It's really sad. And it's just utter deception, period. When the Most High said, call on my name, that's what he meant. And if we didn't learn what his name was, if we didn't care enough to learn, and we were going to be lazy about our walk, then the Lord was good enough for us. You know, I can't point fingers at anybody because I'm just as guilty as anyone. It's what I knew. It was what I was taught. Not understanding that until the Most High, you know, I said, I want to know your name, and he showed me. Not understanding the full ramifications of it. Even now, some of this stuff is revelatory to even me because I'm seeing it in a different light. Even though the Most High has shown me, you know, sometimes you just don't see everything right away. So we as his people, we got to understand. We can't raise our name. We can't raise our hand and be saying that and understand what we understand now. Well, you know, he said his name would be great amongst the Gentiles. If you know what that name stands for, even if he says his name would be great, it can't mean that. And we justify it. We justify it because we're comfortable with it. We don't want to change. I can't believe I've been believing a lie all this time. That's really what it comes down to. Our pride will get in the way. No. When you know to do better, you ought to do better. When we can see this name and the definition for this name, and we can see the effect that it's had on this society, the effect that it's had on our people, and as I told you, and we saw and we read, that the Most High put this spirit on us because we were reprobates. We see how far back our reprobation goes. And we come out of slavery and we are still reprobate. And he wants us to change. If we know what has been done and you refuse to change, then that's on you. Like I said, I don't have a heaven or a hell to put you into. And you don't have to answer to me. You got to answer to the Most High Elohim. But how can you, in truth, with a clear conscience, continue to do so, understanding what it is? Jeremiah chapter 4. We don't want to be thinking the things that the Most High is giving to us and giving it to another deity. Even if we were doing it ignorantly because we didn't know, we didn't understand, doesn't change the fact. If you were seduced, deceived, taught in error, it doesn't change the fact. So we don't want to do that because we wouldn't want nobody doing that to us. You working hard for whoever, only to find out that what you're giving to them and what you're providing for them, they're taking it and giving it to somebody else. And sleeping with them too. We wouldn't, no, none of us would like that. And the Most High says, you don't like it. Jeremiah chapter 4, starting in verse 19. This is how the Most High feels about this. Hear the pain in these words. My vows, I am in pain at my very heart. My heart maketh a noise in me. I cannot hold my peace because thou hast heard, O my soul, the sound of the trumpet and the alarm of war. Destruction upon destruction is cried, for the whole land is spoiled. Suddenly are my tents spoiled and my curtains in the moment. How long shall I see the standard and hear the sound of the trumpet? For my people is foolish. They have not known me. They are sottish children, and they have not none understanding. They are wise to do evil, but to do good they have no knowledge. The Most High said, we heard him deeply. You ever been in love with somebody and they do something to you that it just hurts your inside, make you want to throw up? This is what the Most High is saying that we did to him, that our forefathers did to him. And he says that we are just foolish with no understanding, wise to do evil, but to do good, we have no knowledge. This is how we made him feel. I don't know about you, but that bothers me. That we as a people could do that to the Most High Elohim. To make the Most High Elohim feel that way. My bowels, I'm in pain because of how you've treated me. We have so much to be ashamed of as a people. We have so much to repent for as a people. Because, see, it was all right. We thought it was, we weren't the people of the book. I didn't always believe we were the people of the book. Look how they treat the Most High Elohim. They ought to be ashamed of themselves. And they only find out that it's us. That should bother each and every one of us, that our forefathers could make the Most High feel that way. And do we have it within us to change? Do we have it within us to convert? Do we have it within us to want to fear the Most High Elohim, to walk in his way? Do we have it within us? Or are we just like our forefathers, tied to this flesh, tied to Baal? In an adulterous relationship, spiritual relationship, saying we love the Most High, but still calling him by the name of another man, another Elohim. Taking what he's given to us and dedicating it to the Lord, because we refuse to find out his name. Please, we can say. Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 7, starting in verse 7. The book of Jeremiah, chapter 2, starting in verse 7. And I brought you into a plentiful country to eat the fruit thereof and the goodness thereof. But when you entered, you defiled my land and made my heritage an abomination. The priest said not, where is Yah? And they that handled the law knew me not. The pastors also transgressed against me. And the prophets prophesied by Baal and walked after the things that do not profit. Wherefore I will yet plead with you, saith Yah, and with your children's children will I plead. I'm looking for a holy people. I'm looking for a people that aren't governed by their sex force. That sex is not the only thing that they understand. That this is what Baal was all about. And our people, time and time and time again, gravitated to it. This generation did good. The next generation did bad. He puts us in the belly of the beast. Puts us into a land that you have liberty to do whatever you want to do. And we chose to follow Baal. We chose to chase after skirts and after muscles and after bulges, after big behind, pretty smile, then to see what we could get them to do. And the more perverted, we just exceedingly became more and more perverted. And not realizing that this is a spirit. Not realizing that you were under the influence. We got to come up with an acronym for that one. Spiritual drunkenness. Under the influence of another Elohim, serving another Elohim, being married to another Elohim, and all at the same time saying that you're married to the Most High. You're his people. You're his children. You're his husband. You're his wife, not his husband. All the different acronyms, all the different permutations of a relationship that the Most High tried to show that he is to us. All the while calling on the name of another Elohim. And we're not sorry. We should be very sorry. We should even be repentant, even right now. As I said this morning, that which you did in ignorance, Yah will forgive. We can't continue to do it after today and say we're ignorant because we're not. And like I said, even I have to change some of the things that I say to even break myself out of this. And I know, but it's been there since I was a child. So if you hear me say it, I want you to correct me. Because I'm surely going to correct you. Amen. Amen. Jeremiah chapter 12. The book of Jeremiah chapter 12, verses 15 through 17. Jeremiah chapter 12, starting in verse 15. And it shall come to pass that after I have plucked them out, I will return and have compassion on them and will bring them again, every man to his heritage and every man to his land. And it shall come to pass that they will diligently learn the ways of my people to swear by my name, by my name, Yahweh, as they taught my people to swear by Baal. Lord is not a name, not in the English. The Lord translated back into the Hebrew is a name, Baal. But you need to learn the name of the Most High. Because he says, to swear by my name, not by Father, not by Son, not by Holy Spirit, but by my name. You have to want to know what his name is. You have to be convicted of what his name is. Yahweh, as they taught my people to swear by Baal, then shall they be built in the midst of my people. But if they will not obey, I will utterly pluck up and destroy that nation, saith Yah. We don't want Yah to destroy us. We know better. We want to be obedient. We want to swear by his name, not by Lord, not by Baal, not by Father, not by Son, not by Holy Spirit, by his name. He wants us to know his name. He wants us to swear by his name. He wants our oath. He wants to know where our oath and our allegiance is going to, where our vows are going to. Are we giving it to him or to someone else? Something else. Verse 17 again. But if they will not obey, I will utterly pluck up and destroy that nation, that ethnicity. Nation means ethnic group. Saith Yah, that people. We don't want to be a people falling into this transgression. It is a grievous thing. It makes the Most High, that hurts my bowels, makes my stomach hurt, hurts my heart. So I pray we can hear this. The book of Psalms, chapter 74. The book of Psalms, chapter 74. We're going to get verse 10. And then we're going to drop down to verse 18. The book of Psalms, chapter 74, verse 10. O Elohim, how long shall the adversary approach? Reproach. Shall the enemy blaspheme thy name forever? Blaspheme thy name. Drop down to verse 18. Remember this, that the enemy has reproached, O Yah, and that the foolish people have blasphemed thy name. The Most High, wow, we go back into Ezekiel chapter 36, I believe. The Most High said, we caused the heathen to blaspheme his name by our disobedience, because we disobeyed him. We taught them that they could disobey him. But we taught them evil in a whole nother way. That they could call our Elohim whatever they wanted to call him. And guess what? We followed by that. They rename our Elohim. We start calling him by the name they call him. Profaning his name. Blaspheming his name. Let's go to Malachi, chapter 2. The book of Malachi, chapter 2. We're going to start in verse 1. And now, O ye priests, this commandment is for you. If you will not hear, and if you will not lay to heart to give glory unto my name, saith Yah of hosts, I will even send a curse upon you, and I will curse your blessing. Yet I have cursed them already, because you have not laid to heart. We are a kingdom of priests and kings, and we have not laid this thing to heart, that we should give glory unto his name, because it's more comfortable for us to say, Lord. It's more comfortable for us because that's what we know. Says, I have even sent a curse upon you and have already done it. Behold, I will corrupt your seed and spread dung upon your faces. I'm going to put doo-doo on your faces. If we were, you know, if I was a worldly man, then you know what word typically the average Hebrew would say here, because, you know, we got that cursing in us. We got that not cursing, cussing in us. I'm just going to say doo-doo, but you know what the Most High is saying. Even the dung of your solemn feasts, your feast days are not right before the Most High. He said, smell like dung to me. You say you offering up a sweet savor, a sweet smell to me. It smells like dung, like doo-doo to me. Behold, I will corrupt your seed and spread dung upon your faces, even the dung of your solemn feet. And one shall take, you away with it. And you shall know that I have sent this commandment unto you, that my covenant might be with Levi, saith Yah of hosts. My covenant was with him of life and peace, and I gave them to him for the fear wherewith he feared me and was afraid before my name. You know, y'all think, you know, I know some of y'all probably tired of me harping on the fear of Yah. Just can't you talk about anything else? But I'm telling you, everything that we are in because of the lack of fear of him, because we want a butt. We want somebody that a friend with us, and we don't fear him, so we don't do the things we're supposed to do. Fear him the way that we're supposed to fear him. So a lot of these things don't even affect us because why he mad about that? But you're gonna continue to hear it because it is foundation. It is the beginning of all wisdom. Fear Yah. Keep his commandments. He's saying the priests don't fear him. Verse 5 again. My covenant was with him of life and peace, with Levi, the tribe of Levi, the priesthood. And I gave them to him for the fear with which he feared me and was afraid before my name. The law of truth was in his mouth, and iniquity was not found in his lips. He walked with me in peace and equity and did turn away many from iniquity. For the priest's lips should keep knowledge, and they should seek the law at his mouth, for he is the messenger of Yah of hosts. But you are departed out of the way. You have caused many to stumble at the law. You have corrupted the covenant of Levi, saith Yah of hosts. Therefore have I also made you contemptible and base before all the people, according as you have not kept my ways, but have been partial in the law. Neither are in all the law as it applies today, but don't be a man of it. Because it says, the carnal mind is not subject to the law of Elohim, and neither indeed can be. So if you're still trying to be in the world, if you're still trying to be that natural man, if you have not submitted yourself to the spirit of the Most High Elohim and allowed him to fill you with his Ruach HaKodesh, his Holy Spirit, you are yet carnal in your mind. And he said, hey, you can't please me. be partial, even in the law, doing some of it, making excuses for not doing the other parts. Won't hold yourself accountable. Even been taught you ain't under the law. And a lot of us come out of those doctrines. You ain't under the law. Christ did away with the law, only to find out that he didn't do away with nothing. He said, I changed some things. But the definition in the scriptures in the New Testament for sin is still the same. Sin is the transgression of the law. If the law is no more, how can you sin? You got to keep it all according to as it is today. We don't make animal sacrifices for sin. No longer under the law for that. You can go amongst the nation to spread the gospel. A change to the law. But the law is still in effect. Have we not all one Father? Have not one Elohim created us? Why do you deal treacherously every man against his brother by profaning the covenant of our fathers? Judah has dealt treacherously, and an abomination is committed in Israel and in Jerusalem. For Judah has profaned the holiness of Yah, which he loved, and has married the daughter of the strange Elohim. Remember when Ahab took Jezebel? That's what he's talking about. Now, a lot of times we hear this word holiness and say, ain't nobody perfect. And ain't nobody perfect. But you better be striving for it. You better be trying to be perfect. You better be working toward that, because this is the desire and the commandment of the Most High. So when you know to do better, you ought to do better. And not make the excuse, ain't nobody perfect. Pray for me. Help me. Encourage me. Lift me up. Don't think that the Most High has got to settle for whatever it is that you want to offer, because he don't have to settle for it. He says, I want your whole heart, not a piece of it. I want you to be 100% committed to me, not doing, giving me what you think is good enough. If it ain't your all, it ain't good enough. Can we hear that? Can we hear that? The Elohim we serve, he don't have to take second best. He don't have to take second and third. Oh, you've been with this guy, you've been with that guy, and now you're with this guy. You got many husbands, like he told that woman at the well. Let us get real with our Elohim. He don't want a piece of us. He don't want those that keep the law partially. He don't want those that don't fear him, fear his word and tremble and understand what he's going to do. When we did the day of Yah, if we didn't come out of that trembling for what he's going to do, something's wrong anyway. Because apparently we don't believe what we read. So we believe that, you know, what he's had written, it was just written, just to have it written, don't really mean nothing. We don't have to believe it. No, you don't have to. But don't let that day come upon you and say, I should have. Verse 12. Yah will cut off the man that does this, the master and the scholar, out of the tabernacle of Jacob, and him that offers an offering unto Yah of hosts. You can, if you come in halfway, and you are profaning the Most High, and you're making an offering to him, he's not really receiving it. And you're just doing something that makes you feel good. But when you don't see any results from it, then we don't really ever hear about that. Let me continue. And this have you done again, covering the altar of God with your tears. Boo-hoo, boo-hoo. I'm going through. I'm hurt. I'm this, I'm that. But if we're still practicing wickedness and then trying to come crying to Yah, I'm telling you, Yah saying, I ain't hearing it. And with weeping and with crying out, insomuch that he regardeth not the offering anymore. God says, you coming with these tears, and I ain't even thinking about what you're bringing. I'm not having any regard of it. Not offering any more or receive it with good will at your hand. Yah says, I'm not honoring that. I'm not looking at that with any good will, because you are profaning my name. You coming before me, crying out, saying you need help, saying you need this, you need that. Pray for this person and that person. I ain't trying to hear it. Until you straighten up your act, until you respect the relationship that you and I are supposed to have, till you come back to me with your whole heart, till you do it the way that I said do it and not your own way. Don't do what's right in your own eyes. Yet you say, why? Because Yah has been a witness between thee and the wife of thy youth, against whom thou hast dealt treacherously. Yet she is thy companion and the wife of thy covenant. Now, these men were, and the Most High is using this as a spiritual description, and did not he make one, male and female, husband and wife? He made them what, one? Yet had he the residue of the spirit. And why one? That he might seek a godly seed. Could you imagine? The Most High is saying, hey, I'm looking for a godly seed. I'm not looking for an ungodly seed. I was looking the path of which Messiah is going to come through, but also I'm also trying to make a godly seed of people through Messiah. Therefore, take heed to your spirit and let none deal treacherously against the wife of his youth. Most High never wanted us to divorce. He never wanted us to be out here fornicating or committing adultery. He's always been 100% against that. For Yah, the Elohim of Israel, says he hates putting away. Hates it. He hates it with a passion. For one covers violence with his garment, saith Yah of hosts. Therefore, take heed to your spirit that you deal not treacherously. You have worried Yah with your word, yet you say, wherein have we wearied him? When you say, everyone that does evil is good. I told you that, you know, when we have these young ladies coming up in the body pregnant, they're not married. You got these young men getting these ladies pregnant, and they're not married, or people coming in doing, they're breaking the law. They're sinning, and we know it. And, oh, that's all right, baby. Bless you. What? You calling good, you calling evil good, because it goes against the word of the Most High. And there's more ways that we do that. You're going to sit here and say, why are we weary with him? Because you, everyone that does evil is good. in the sight of Yah. You say that. Oh, she's a good woman. He's a good boy. He's a good man. Doing evil. Know that they are in relationships they're not supposed to be in. Know they are doing things they are not supposed to do, but we want to justify ourselves. I'm showing you what the Most High thinks about it. You can't say Brother Miles said this. You can't say that's Brother Miles' opinion. Thus saith Yah Elohim, everyone that does evil is good in the sight of Yah. That's what you say. And he delighteth in them. Or where is the Elohim of judgment? We have to come out of these things. Evil is evil. I don't care if it's our own children. I don't care if it's our mother and our father, our uncle, our aunt. Wickedness is wickedness in the eyes of the Most High. And because we don't want to judge nobody. We allow these things. And we perpetuate them. And then say, Yah blesses them. We read that sentence. Let me read that verse again. I want us to make sure we understand this so we stop it if we're doing it. You have worried God with your words. Yet you say, wherein or how have we wearied him? When you say everyone that does evil is good in the sight of Yah, and he delights in them. If you find yourself doing that, because why do we even do that? We know the young people out there doing wickedness. We know the old people out there doing wickedness. The young girl shows up pregnant. She's not married. We want to pamper and do whatever with her. And then we almost most of the time we want to sanction the relationship. If he wants to stay with her, but he won't marry her. Who's the father? He's the young man. He's in the body. No, those things have to be condemned. If we know somebody, the scripture tells us. If somebody calls themselves a brother, if one of our people calls himself a brother and he's proven to be a fornicator, so we're going to put him out. Oh, no. You repent? You sorry? Dude, how many you been with? How long has been going on? You just got caught. And if it's true, he just did it that once, or it's new, and he and she, because usually there'll be somebody in the congregation, they both repent, and yeah, we're supposed to take them back if they truly are repentant. But if they're not, it happens again, brother, you got to go. Sister, you got to go, because we can't be saying what you're doing is good. We can't be allowing it, because the Most High says, we say that he says that evil is good. You're doing evil. And we want to say you're blessed because you're in the congregation. Twisting the word of the Most High. He said, don't do it. He said, I'm sick of that stuff. I've been sick of it for a millennium. And every generation keeps doing it. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 52. Wow. Ooh-wee. I don't have good grief. I think I've been talking too much. We've read a lot of scripture, and I still got a lot of scripture. Good grief. Isaiah 52, starting in verse 1. We're going to stop right here for today. I'm not going to keep anybody over. We will probably pick this up again. Not tomorrow. Tomorrow we got spiritual wellness in the morning. We own the children. We want to stay focused on that. the next generation. Isaiah 52:1. Awake, awake. Put on thy strength, O Zion. Put on thy beautiful garment, O Jerusalem, the holy city. For henceforth there shall no more come into thee the uncircumcised and the unclean. Shake thyself from the dust. Arise and sit down, O Jerusalem. Loose thyself from the bands of the neck of captive daughter Zion. For thus saith Yah, you have sold yourselves for naught. You shall be redeemed without money. For thus saith Yah Elohim, my people went down aforetime into Egypt to sojourn there. And the Assyrian oppressed them without cause. That Pharaoh that was in Egypt, that enslaved our forefathers in Egypt, he wasn't an Egyptian Pharaoh. He was an Assyrian Pharaoh. The Assyrians that came in and conquered Egypt. Therefore, a Pharaoh came up that did not know Joseph. Because it's impossible with the records that the Egyptians kept for there to be a Pharaoh, an Egyptian Pharaoh that didn't know Joseph. Red flag should have went up. Red flag went up for me. I was like, how does that happen? With the records that the Egyptians kept, how could there ever be a Pharaoh that didn't know Joseph? Well, if they got conquered, and it says this Pharaoh is not an Egyptian Pharaoh, he's an Assyrian, you don't know Joseph. Could care less about Joseph. Could care less about the Hebrew people. Oh, no, you're not the royal herdsman anymore. You are city builders. You are brick masons. You are mortar makers. You are grass cutters. And you're going to do it all day long. And you're going to help build these cities. See, everything is in the scripture. You got to know where to find it. Now, therefore, what I have here saith Yah, that my people is taken away for nothing. That they rule over them, make them to howl, saith Yah, and my name continually every day is blasphemed. I brought you out of Egypt to make of you a people, a kingdom of priests and kings. And now the nations are saying, I can't keep you. I didn't know what I was doing. They blaspheme my name because of you stiff-necked, hard-headed. Therefore, my people shall know my name. My name. Therefore, they shall know in that day that I am he that does speak. Behold, it is I. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of them that bringeth good tidings, that publish peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publish the salvation, that saith unto Zion, thy Elohim reigneth. Thy watchmen shall lift up the voice, with the voice together shall they sing, for they shall see eye to eye, the watchman and the prophet. They won't be saying different things. Yah shall bring again Zion. And he's going to gather us again. And he's going to bring us back into our own land. Until he does that, we need to be doing what he told us to do. Preach this gospel of the kingdom. Call my people to repentance. Teach them the truth about their ways so that they can heal. Don't keep trying to preach to them candy gospel. Teach them to fear me so I can gather you. Teach them to serve me with their whole heart so I can gather you. Because I might have that holy seed. Stop worrying about what people are going to say to you. Oh, you think you're holier than thou. That's a badge that you should want. Not fight against. Not be terrified. Not make an excuse that, hey, I can't obtain that. If you can't obtain it, you need to get out of it. You need to get out of this because this is who he's looking for. Break forth into joy. Sing together, you waste places of Jerusalem, for Yah has comforted his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. Yah has made bare his holy arm in the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our Elohim. Depart ye, depart ye. Go ye out from this or from there. Touch no unclean thing. Go ye out of the midst of her. Be ye clean. Don't defile the temple of the Most High Elohim, which temple you are. Stop making excuses, because he don't want anything unclean. Bear the vessels of Yah Elohim, for you shall not go out with haste, nor go out by flight. For Yah will go before you, and the Elohim of Israel will be your reward. I was your reward before, now I'm going to be your reward when I take you back. Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall exalt and extol and be very high. Now, these are talking about the times of Messiah's return. As many as were astonished at thee, his visage was so marred. Remember, it says Messiah was, number one, he wasn't coming to begin with, but when they got through with him, his mama couldn't recognize him. Was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. So shall he sprinkle many nations. The king shall shut their mouths at him. For that which had not been told them, they shall see. And that which they had not heard, they shall consider. When he returns, he's going to lay it out for them. We're going to stop here for this evening. I want us all to consider our walk with the Most High. I want you to consider how you address him, what you call him, because he says, I want you to call on my name. I want each and every one of us to repent. We're calling the Most High by the name of another deity. Father, we didn't know. We didn't understand. We didn't know the ramifications of what we have been doing. But now that you know better, you ought to do better. Whatever name you are convicted of, I'm not going to give you a name. I call on the name of Yah. Let's go to Psalm 68 and 4 real quick so we can see this for ourselves. You don't have to use this name, and I'm not telling you you have to use this name. I'm just telling you this is why I use this name. Psalm chapter 68 and verse 4. You can call on Jehovah, Yahweh, Yahuwah. Whatever name you're convinced of, just don't call on the name of the Lord. Sing unto Elohim. Sing praises unto his name. Extol him that rideth upon the heavens by his name, in your Bible, Jah, and rejoice before him. As I have told you, this letter J did not get the just sound until it came into the English. All before it came into the English, it had the yes sound. If you have a Strong's Concordance, and you look up that verse, and you look up the name of Jah in that verse, it's going to tell you that it's pronounced Yah. The short version of his name. This is the name he revealed to me. He confirmed it in the scripture, so this is what I call him. We play a song, Contemplate. Contemplate what we have talked about this evening, what we have read. We don't want to be guilty of these things. One last verse, and we will pray out. What is the Shabbat? The book of Jeremiah, chapter 16. The book of Jeremiah, chapter 16, verse 21. Jeremiah, chapter 16, verse 21. Therefore, behold, I will this once cause them to know. I will cause them to know my hand and my might, and they shall know that my name is Yah. Let's bow our heads. Father Yah, we thank you for your word tonight. We thank you for your spirit, Father, and for you revealing to us just how you feel about us calling out of your name, calling you out of your name, Father. Father, forgive all those who repent of it. Forgive them even right now. For surely we have been doing this thing in ignorance, and it has not been willful sin. Father, we pray. We pray for your mercy and your grace. We pray for your guidance and your deliverance. You are our Elohim, and you alone shall we worship. And we shall call you by your name and call upon your name, for you have and do require it. Father, forgive us. Please forgive us. Now, Father, as we go to work, as we go our separate ways tonight to work, in grief, as we go our separate ways, Father, encamp your angels around us. Have them to keep us safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And until we meet again at the appointed time, remember, I love you, but Yah loves you more. Shalom, family.
What can I do if I don't?